Debt100.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're back, the final hour we spend with Peter Robbins on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. Before we broke, Chris asked a detailed question about law enforcement officials and others going on the record. What do you have to say, Peter?
Yes. There is a handful of such material in those case histories, and there are certainly in excess of 1,000 that we will now begin to try to figure out how to handle. But yes, also let us remember here that for a medical health professional or a mental health professional or a law enforcement personnel, and the ones that I remember best are law enforcement corroborating X, Y, or Z, to even suggest that you believe in UFOs or you take this silliness seriously or that you are going to corroborate in some way a very real event. Think about the incident at Exeter and the police officers that were involved in that and were belittled in Project Blue Book and actually wrote to Project Blue Book and demanded that the government per se apologize for categorizing their well-trained observations of a huge, fully articulated disc coming in low over their part of Exeter and being so anxious that one of them unholstered his weapon that this was some kind of misinterpretation of a weather formation. Again, it would be funny if it wasn't so insulting. Yes, there is a certain amount of that level of information, but for very real-world reasons that I think most of us can grasp, to set that down on paper and sign your name as Dr. This or Police Officer That, you are taking your very career in your hands.
Okay, here's a question from Williams520, who's a new actual member of the forum, and he wonders about your thoughts on the Travis Walton case. Do you believe it was a hoax, or do you believe Travis was really taken? What are your opinions of Whitley Strieber and his abduction accounts? Again, this is kind of a third question. What do you think are the best abduction cases to date?
I think he's going to have about 3 hours to answer this, folks.
Okay.
Well, yes, ask the question there, Gene.
Okay, as far as the Walton case goes, I take it very seriously, and I consider Travis one of the most ethical, principled, and decent people that I've ever met remotely associated with this subject.
I agree. I just had my first opportunity to spend real quality time with Travis back last month, a month and a half ago out in L.A., and man, I was impressed by Travis. He's just everything that I thought he would be, and I must say, I didn't mean to jump in there, but
no, that's fine.
I am more impressed with that case now that I've actually spent one-on-one time with Travis.
Yes.
But continue. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. No, although the book speaks for itself and is a powerhouse as far as I'm concerned, and Travis, when you have an opportunity to speak with him or hear him speak, I think gives it real gravitas and credibility. The film that was made on his experience, which was extremely powerful, Fire in the Sky, it really does quite a number on the abduction-related area of the experience, and that's the director's prerogative once you buy the option.
Oh, no, I actually had lunch with Travis and Tracy Torme, who was kind of the producer of the program.
Yes.
That's the film.
Perfect. And then you have the inside sense.
Yeah, they believe me, they weren't happy with the way the whole thing ended up.
They both were diplomatic about it.
The whole show right there.
Well, that's right. However, what I thought was not just really good, but singularly powerful about the film was the way that it dealt with and focused in on the problem, the tremendous questions that it set up for the law enforcement personnel that were involved. First, let's remember, we're talking about, what was it, 5 good friends, including 2 best friends, who were first accused of murder because that was preferable to, oh yeah, your buddy got hit by a blue light from a flying saucer. Where's the body?
Exactly. They threw him over the Mogollon Rim. I just went camping up there about 3 weekends ago, so.
Well, again, for me.
And by the way, Chris never came back. This is his doppelganger.
No, I'm here.
Again, for me, the way that that investigation proceeds, the stress that's put upon these young men to crack their characters, per se, the way that, you know, tests came back, and ultimately that we're stuck with, well, you know, if you know Travis or you have a sense of him, the idea that this working class guy who up until, I think, 2 years ago was still a logger and who years ago was approached by the then mayor of Snowflake, Arizona, saying with great pride, Travis, and I'm paraphrasing here, and I know Travis would back me up on this, we want to have your name, you know, on this, and, you know, welcome to Snowflake, Arizona sign, home of Travis Walton. He said he's absolutely disgusted, and of course I wouldn't let them do it. This is somebody who is the exact opposite personality type character of somebody who is looking for attention. In fact, I can't think of anybody in public life more emblematic of that kind of person who is extremely private and would have probably been very preferential to that.
Well, getting back to his question, do you feel that the Travis Walton case is a watershed case?
I think it's a very important case. I can't think of one even remotely in its category that is more powerful, more important, or stands up better under very tough questioning and scrutiny. That goes from the specifics of the investigation into it to all of the individuals who are involved. I have a great deal of respect for the incident as well as the individual.
Okay, well, what other cases would you put in that same category, or are there any other cases?
Well, I would say, for me, again, I worked for and with Bud for periods sometimes of a number of years or so, and I was working with him as his assistant for the entire time that the investigation on the so-called Linda case, the Brooklyn Bridge case, was going on. I was in the office the day that she came in late November or the beginning of December. I think it was right after Thanksgiving, late November 1989, and I helped in any way that I could on that investigation, did a lot of you know, gopher stuff, background, was one of the proofreaders, although I read every page as it came out of the printer, basically. And that was, I think, like a six-year or so investigation. I have never not stood behind it. And Linda, who is somebody who I have gotten to know very well, who I consider has grown into becoming a very good friend, and a friendship that I value very much, is, for me, one of the most upstanding, decent, non-guile type of people I have ever met. And for me, I take it a little bit personally when I hear people say that, you know, she and Bud cooked this up, you know, as a money-making scheme or some of the other absolutely insulting nonsense that has been put forward to belittle the case and the research on it.
What about Whitley? That's the sort of the second follow-up question.
Yes.
That Wayne 520 has.
What's
your opinion of the Whitley Strieber case? Now, this I'm asking this as someone that actually had my first, fully conscious UFO sighting experience in New Paltz in September, the third weekend of September 1979.
Perfect.
They're miles from his cabin. So,
well, you've asked a question that I think I can offer at least somewhat unique perspective on. Communion, Whitley's first book on UFOs, and let us remember here that Whitley Strieber, at the time, some of your listeners may not be aware of this, he was far and away the best known American or writer that I'm aware of with some repute. And I'd categorize the work that he had written up until then as kind of demi-Stephen King, you know, gothic fiction. And
We remember the movies, and we'll go into your answer in further detail about Whitley Strieber, about what he was before he said he was an abductee and the book Communion came out. We're talking with Peter Robbins. You're listening to Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
Neighbors, do you need to bring the final touches to your latest podcasts? Clean up the soundtrack of that holiday video. Mix together a few takes from your last jamming session. Process the audio files of the video game you're creating to sound just right. But look no further. Whatever audio-related task you're looking to perform, Amadeus Pro is the tool for you. It's the Swiss Army knife of sound editing. Go to HairerSoft.com. HairerSoft.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
So the question on the table for Peter Robbins about Whitley Strieber and his experiences. And we're getting the insights now on the Paracast with Gene and Chris from Peter Robbins. Peter?
Again, please understand that anything that I say about Whitley, as in anything I say about anything, is my opinion. And I do not represent the Intruders Foundation or Bud or anybody, living or dead, other than myself.
And I usually say when I give opinions on the show, I represent nobody.
Now, come on. You represent somebody.
Yeah, you.
Oh, no. I don't exist. I'm busy out there buying some $1.29 coffee for my wife. I'll be back.
Well, I don't know if disembodied spirits can lay the change on the counter, so give me a break. Now, let's remember that Communion came out in 1987, the same year that Intruders came out, and that Whitley, who had many, many conscious memories, and they were driving him, they had driven him to a state of depression, anxiety, that required him to go into therapy. I'm saying nothing here out of school. This is all stuff that's been discussed. The book is dedicated, Communion. I would especially like to thank Bud Hopkins, who has sacrificed an enormous amount of time and effort, often approaching the heroic, for myself and those like me who have been dragged to the edge of reality. I think that's actually very well said, and I think Whitley's a very good writer. I was aware that Bud was working with this well-known writer, worked in the office every day. I'd hear him on the phone. I was sworn to confidentiality, etc. One afternoon, a month or two before the book came out, I received a phone call at home, and it was Whitley Strieber, who I had never spoken to before. He introduced himself, and he said, and I'm paraphrasing, and Whitley, if you're listening, please correct me if I'm wrong. I know you're aware of my situation. I know you work as Bud's assistant. I have completed a manuscript on this story that has happened to me and my family, and I asked Bud if there was anyone he could suggest who would proofread this, who had enough knowledge on the subject that they could give me their opinion on how I've written about it, as well as somebody who would not be afraid to simply just tell me what they thought, and he recommended you. Could I ask you the favor of reading this manuscript for this book? I said yes, and a short time after that, I went to his house in Lower Manhattan, very nice loft apartment that he had with his wife and son, and they set me up in a guest room in the morning and brought me lunch, and I sat there for about 8 hours, or close to it, and I read the manuscript for Communion from beginning to end. I thought it was a very powerful book. The only advice that I had for Whitley was realizing he was still in therapy, something I had been in and understood a certain amount of the dynamics of, that it might serve the manuscript as well as the process he was going through to spend a bit more time on it and not push it into print right now. And he thanked me and I think sent it to the publisher that afternoon. It came out and was an international bestseller, so don't listen to me. Now, over time, and this is my opinion purely, I have come to feel that, yes, this is a true story. And that is something I assumed at the start, but, and again, this is my opinion, that there are tiny parts of it, little things that Whitley, as a writer, just did a little bit of fine-tuning on or a little bit of sanding at the edges. I can't prove this, and I mean no disrespect. It is simply my opinion that some of that went on. And for me, that's always a problem, because if you change anything when you're writing ideally scrupulous nonfiction, and boy, do I know that, you can be accused of, quote-unquote, not telling the truth or some...
embellishment.
Sure, yeah. And also the problem is, at that point, where does the fact end and the fiction begins? Let's move on to another question, because we're getting late in the show. Chris?
Indeed. Well, now we're going to, you know, burst the Rendlesham bubble here, and we have several questions. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to get through all this, but
sure.
Rendlesham is, you know, this is me speaking. Rendlesham is kind of has a life of its own, and this question comes from Anda Fritz, who's one of our earliest. He's been involved in posting on Paracast for over 5 years.
He was once a moderator for the forums.
Exactly.
Sure.
And, you know, his question deals with what seems to be the sullying of the Rendlesham Forest incident.
Hmm.
I believe that the personalities involved are beginning to degrade the event. To me, when you have possibly the best UFO encounter of all time, it now seems to have all the principals involved starting to turn on each other. I must admit that I really can't believe how anyone or everyone is going after Charles Hall. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure he is no angel in this case, but this is the guy who had the tape. This is the guy who wrote the report. This is the guy who actually came forward first, in my view. He says, I'm not saying anything bad about Larry Warren, Peniston, Burroughs, or anyone else for that matter, but why Jim Peniston would bring that binary code stuff up right now is a head-scratcher, and that's for sure. So I guess my question is, are these guys starting to crack under some sort of unseen pressure? He would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm.
And he also says, Peter is a great guest on any show I've ever heard him on.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot to me. Thank you. Just for that, I'll give you a good answer. No. Number one, you've mentioned Left at Eastgate several times, the firsthand account of the Rendlesham Forest UFO incidents, cover up and investigation. I didn't write that. I co-wrote it, and I wouldn't want anyone to think, because that is something that did come up early on a bit. Witnesses can't write. Larry's a very good writer, and he wrote his half of the book, more than half of the book, and I did the rest. And I'm very
and Bud was involved a little bit, too.
I'm very proud of the accomplishments. The Rendlesham Forest incident, which, as many of your listeners know, took place over 3 and possibly 2 nights consecutively between Christmas and New Year's 1980 in Suffolk, East Anglia, England, within the proximity of 2 highly secured NATO bases, was 30 years old on late December. And I, along with Larry, along with 2 of the other key witnesses, Charles Hall was invited, he declined, and another investigator of the case, Linda Howe, also Nick Pope, was there specifically for questions and answers and not to speak. But there was a conference, and that was the place where Jim Peniston chose for the first time in public to talk about this so-called binary code. And that had, I don't want to mischaracterize it. It's Jim's story, and I wouldn't dream of, you know, trying to interpret it for your audience. I still am having a problem grasping it, and that's not a reflection necessarily on the veracity of Jim's claims. I'm just really, it's so right-brained that I have problems wrapping myself around certain scientific constructs that are presented to me. Among them, this aspect of the story. Jim and John Burroughs, who he has been lecturing with on and off over the past years, sometimes with Charles Holt, and I will say, although I think Jim is now associated with Charles again, in December, both of them badmouthed Charles extensively from the stage. And then by March, when they spoke at the International UFO Congress in Phoenix, Jim was very much back in the groove with
Mr. I'll tell you what, we'll get into this particular issue and more with Peter Robbins. I'm Gene with Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Attention gardeners, this is an urgent GCN self-reliance update. GCN has just discovered a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's so effective at producing rapid plant growth that it seems to almost force plants to grow like crazy under practically any soil and light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of sea nutrients maximizes mineral uptake and dramatically increases bloom set, creating maximum plant growth in minimum time. ProtoGrow works by providing geometric keys which have the capacity to to actually unlock the genetic code for nutritional uptake in plants. Protogrow's full-spectrum plant fertility means fruits and vegetables with extraordinary taste and up to 10 times the nutritional value. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. GCN listeners who want to grow dirt cheap superfoods should visit the Protogrow website at growlikecrazy.com. That's www.growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're back with Peter Robbins. Of course, he's co-author of Left at Eastgate with Larry Warren, founding member of the Intruders Foundation. You're listening to Gene and Chris. And on the Paracast, you were talking about, what is this, a falling out among the people who were involved in the Rendlesham case?
Well, there's never been a falling in. There's never been cohesion here. It's not a new phenomena. What happened, in part, is that the events happened. Jim and John, who were involved on the first night, and as I recall, John on the second, stayed in the service for another 20-odd years. And as they have related it to us, only had each other to talk about it with, which had to be incredibly stressful. Larry Warren, my co-author, left the Air Force with a fully honorable discharge 6 months after the fact in May of 1981. In 82, suffering very much from what we would now say, oh yeah, that's post-traumatic stress disorder, felt a tremendous need to talk to somebody about this, and ultimately the first in UFO investigative person he was put in contact with was Larry Fawcett, a name that will ring true to some of your listeners, not active now, retired in Florida, and I hope he's well. But Larry was at the time not just a respected UFO investigator, he was a police lieutenant in Coventry, Connecticut, and very adept at interviewing, etc. And he was the one who first drew, did a full series of interviews with Warren. Although Linda Howe also did a series of interviews with him before, a year or so before we began to work together, Larry and I, that is. And the information that Larry gave to Larry Fawcett was then put into the form of a FOIA. And that was filed. And the next year, it resulted in the release of that single document that we refer to as the Halt document, his somewhat compressed redacted report of the event written 2 weeks after the fact, but certainly, you know, the document, the only one we had for two decades or so that validated it on an official forum. I will also stress and reiterate here that the information was only gotten from Larry Warren, who essentially, and there's no nice word for it, he outed everybody that he remembered being involved with it. Now, Charles Halt has maintained on and off for many years that Larry wasn't even involved, that he just heard stuff and wanted to be involved as a wannabe and, you know, gets a kick out of being a UFO personality. Please, I find that insulting. But the information was then sent, the Halt document was then sent as a courtesy to leading British UFO researcher Jenny Randles, who shared it with a colleague who is an attorney as well as a UFO researcher, and his name is, I'll think of it. And he then turned around and sold it to the now defunct News of the World for X thousands of pounds. And when that story broke in October 82, Charles Halt's name was front and center. This, as he has said to me and Larry personally, to audiences and on television and other locations, very understandably, was not a good thing in his career or his private life. And when we were speaking on at the same conference in Kansas in March, I told him from the stage that I was sorry that it had caused such a disruption and, you know, anxiety and anguish to his life, and that I was still very proud of my co-author and always would be for bringing this information out. Now, Larry Warren was left to kind of hang in the wind for X amount of time, but he got to rage at the universe. He didn't have to shut up about it or be compressed like Peniston and Burroughs. Charles Halt maintained from the start that Larry's word couldn't be trusted because he was meddled with. And you're familiar as readers of Left at Eastgate, or you've heard John and Jim speak, and you know these men were put through Disneyland on LSD kind of stuff starting the next night, and what they were subjected to was unconscionable, and they are all damaged from it. But Halt maintained for many years that Larry's statements could not be taken as credible because he had, quote-unquote, been meddled with. Well, they've all been meddled with, and John and Jim, my God, after hearing them speak about how they're dealing with this or trying to deal with it, my heart goes out to both of them. And if anything, they're more beat up about it than Larry, and poor guy has really had it for
especially John.
Years.
I really feel kind of bad for him. Boy, talk about having to deal with something, you know, that you have absolutely no control with, and you're totally in reaction mode.
Let me take it one step further. On that stage, and this was the best informed, most emotional audience I think I've ever spoken before in my life. We had close to 400 people, most of them local from Suffolk, who had grown up with this, with the major story of their life, or half a dozen civilian witnesses in the audience from 30 years before, a handful of former military people. They knew the story as well as they could backwards and forwards, and they were irate at Jim when he made this announcement. Why did you wait all these years, et cetera?
Yeah.
And when John Burroughs, I'll tell you, I mean, I will never forget this. Question, John, is it true, as I've heard, that when you came upon the object in the woods, you pulled your service weapon and went into a two-handed stance? John, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it really happened or it's an implanted memory. John, I've heard that you jumped on the thing and it went like 10 meters with you on it. Is that true? John, I'm just not sure. It may have happened, but I can't say for sure. John, were you abducted? I don't know. For anybody who has ever seen the clips that both of these guys have courageously allowed to be shown at such conferences, and Linda has done, I think, a wonderful job in her presentations with
right. And
John.
Her conversation with John is on Dialogues and Disclosure. But
yeah.
I digress.
I'll digress one other place. On June 21st, 2009, we had an episode of the PowerCast with Peter and John Burroughs, and John Burroughs was seated about 5 feet from me when we did that recording.
Oh, okay, well, there you know. And John, I mean, to say he's a big guy is a joke. It's like saying I'm a short guy, which I am. John has got to be, what, 6'5 or something?
Right, he's one of the few people who towers over me.
Linda look diminutive.
Yes, exactly.
Sure.
And John, I mean, you know, he looks haunted to me. Again, my heart really goes out for the guy. He's had, like Larry and like Jim, as I understand it, and other men who I have been in touch with, whose have not given me permission to use their names, but I've certainly established were involved. Anomalous associated health problems. This burned the retinas of Larry's eyes, and the Air Force medical forms to back that up are included in the book. This is not theoretical. These guys have been through the mill, but to watch John, this big guy, in hypnotic regression with his therapist trying to just draw away that last veil, so to say, he is terrified. And whatever happened there, it was absolutely,
life-changing.
It can be very frightening. Very frightening indeed, you bet. So again, we would need a full show, I guess.
What do you think of the binary code? I mean, what's up with that?
I don't know what to think about it. I just hope to God that it pans out in reality and in the public,
Do you think that this is going to put, a very dark shadow on the whole case, which is one of the standout, bedrock cases in ufology?
Yes.
I don't want to belittle, the Rendlesham case by mentioning Stan Romanek and his, supposed formula, but it seems to me that it's just giving a huge tanker full of gasoline for the naysayers and the debunkers.
I won't say that.
This is the worst thing that could happen if it wasn't true.
Well, I was going to say, I certainly will not prejudge it. I'm following the story as well as I can. I wish Jim well. I hope that this is something that can be established in scientific terms and no uncertain terms. But the potential to hurt perception of the larger picture would be there for sure if somebody or individuals are able to establish that it is not credible in a way that we all accept.
Yeah.
It raises so many issues, and we don't have much time to get into more of it, but we'll try to explore this in more detail. In the final segment, we have Peter Robbins. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products, but increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water, and because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here. You all know I've worked for years with Steve Shank and eFoods Direct. I have eFoods for my own emergency food supply. You know, Steve, life is different now for all of us, isn't it?
Very different. People are using this great food to survive the present hurricane season, and we've already had $40 billion worth of damage from floods, storms, quakes, and droughts. And that's just the first 8 months of this year. Natural disasters are newsworthy, but only touch a few of us Americans. The huge issue of the greatest depression is on everyone's mind. The unemployment, the loss of homes, lost businesses, and skyrocketing food costs are hitting every American. So everyone needs food security.
Folks, this month you will get free shipping on every food order from eFoods Direct. That's right. Every order gets free shipping starting September 6th. Get stocked up with the best storable foods out there with eFoods Direct and be prepared for any emergency before it happens. To take advantage of this special, call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris talking to Peter Robbins on the Paracast. Chris, any more questions about Rendlesham we should go into?
Well, we have a comment by Jerry Brett, who is in Alberta, Canada. He's a fairly recent sign-up on the forums, and he says, I agree with Andefritz, who asked the previous question about the binary code. When I saw his pad with those O and I notepad scratchings page after page, I began to wonder of his credibility, or his source's alien's credibility. As a possible follow-up, when was Mr. Robbins aware of these notes, and do you think that there is any reason or basis for this information to be given to Peniston? As it, well, he says useless, I say it appears to be useless without knowing what it means. Of course, if Andefritz's question is answered by yes, they are turning into crackpots, my question is moot. Now, you know, this is a follow-up question, but I think you stated that when he presented this information at the conference, I think he said in Kansas, that was new.
No. That was when I was on the same bill with Charles Hall. No, this was in England in December.
Oh, in England. Okay. Did you know about this beforehand, or?
Whoa. Not only didn't I know, but I can
say. So this, like, you were as gobsmacked, as they say, as everybody else in the audience.
Totally and completely. I learned about the basics, or it was being discussed an hour, 2 hours before the conference started by them, but I will tell you, you know, it's one of those times where your question asked me when I learned. I learned about it late in the afternoon of December 28th, 2010, in the Woodbridge Community Hall in Suffolk, East Anglia, and was completely taken aback. Completely taken aback. I didn't know what to think of it, and I still don't, frankly. I wish Jim the best, and I hope it pans out.
Okay, yeah, and I think I can speak with Gene, for Gene and say, yeah, I agree with you on that one. Okay, you know, getting back to, you were talking about where we're going to go in the field of abduction research now that, the pillar is gone. I mean, yeah, Bud's not here anymore. You mentioned that there are a few people out there that you think, may be motivated enough to pick up the reins, but instead of focusing maybe on who's going to be taking the field forward, let's look at some of the things that we may have learned from the state of abduction research to this point, and looking at some of the the, you know, criticisms and other things, the things that take a huge body of work and try to make it inconsequential. Mm-hmm. How are the new wave of abduction researchers going to, you know, get over that debunker and nasty skeptic sort of hurdle? I mean, what lessons have we learned? What do you think that they need to really incorporate or discard in the process to move this whole field forward?
Well, good question. I think number one, anybody that is involved in this work has to hold themselves to the highest standards possible because there is no governing board or, you know, academic oversight committee. Let's face it, in order to qualify to be a ufologist, I believe the procedure is you touch your fingers.
Okay,
you
well, we all know that, and this is a subject that comes up almost every other week here on the show. I mean, they got to be proactive, obviously. They've got to be quick on their feet. They have to learn from their mistakes.
Yes.
You think that they should be public about this? Should it be totally behind the scenes? I mean, let's cut to the chase here in our last.
Well, I think number one, when you make an error and you are called on it, it is incumbent on you not to do what the current crop of politicians often do and just tough it out. And, you know, that's a mark of a man never saying you're wrong.
Phil Imbrogno, right?
2 years ago, I was, you know what? It was on your show with John Burroughs. Okay. You were, guys were throwing questions at me about Left at Eastgate, and I'm trying to remember back to what I wrote 20 years before, and what I said, going back to Jenny Randall's, was Jenny had sold that document, the Holt document, to the News of the World, gotten a couple of thousand pounds, and that's how the story broke. Shortly after that, I heard from Jenny, who made it, well, through, one way or the other, and you...
Right, exactly. We heard from Jenny, and then we forwarded that message to you.
And you forwarded an email to me. What you had written on the top of it was, I think, quote-unquote, what are you going to do about this? And the letter from Jenny was appropriately irate. It was Harris, I'll think of his first name, but it was a barrister named Harry Harris, yes, who was a colleague of hers who she gave a courtesy copy to, and he was the one who sold it to the News of the World. And I went back to Left at Eastgate, and I looked it up and was, oh, no. Well, what I did was I immediately emailed Jenny, and I apologized to her personally, and then I told her that for the next, I think, 4 or 5 months, every time I did a radio show and in every public talk that I was doing, and it was I was packed with interviews in that half year and conferences and talks, I would begin by apologizing to her and saying the specifics of how I had screwed up. That is what you can do to begin with. And I'll tell you.
With hoax, so I one of two hoaxes in almost 20 years of a field investigation. I was host for the Crystal Skull in the San Luis Valley. I had to cop up to that, too. I mean, I never fully bought into it, and I made sure that I found out where that thing really came from. But you, that's an important point. You got to cop to your mistakes. But we're talking about young, up-and-coming abduction investigator and researchers here. That's something to always keep in mind. But what protocols, what approaches, what systematic...
I would begin, quite frankly, by, and I'm not kidding here, I would either begin to read or study ethics and proper scientific protocols. I'm not kidding.
I agree with you there.
And establish a very strict personal code of ethics that you can be held to learn something about classical scientific methodology. For me...
Peter, here's a suggestion. How about if they comb the woodwork and find a young, open-minded psychologist, a professional doctor, to dovetail their investigative protocols and analysis of their cases through a legitimate, in terms of the eyes of the status quo, a legitimate, doctor in the field of study. Is that even a viable approach? Is that a pipe dream?
No, not at all. In fact, among my circle of colleagues and advisors, if you will, is a distinguished professor of anthropology in Western New York at a college there. And
we're talking about the young, up-and-coming...
Well, seek out and
women that are going to be taking this thing forward.
Seek out an academic. I live just outside of Ithaca, New York, most famous for Cornell University. There's a professor of sociology who took my work so seriously that he kind of bypassed Cornell policy because they don't like hiring flying saucer speakers here at this
university. Well, how does the young person approach? How does the young person approach?
You could go to start with a teacher who you like and admire.
How do you approach somebody in that potential position to even entertain that as a possibility?
Okay.
My question is, I'm trying to help I think abduction research is going to come to a real screeching halt here.
And you know, the show's going to come to a screeching halt. And I think this is an ongoing discussion because in the very near future, we're going to...
And you'll pay me just as much as this show?
Yeah, we'll have you back.
There we go.
Chris is writing the check right now.
Okay.
It's written on...
I'm starting to hold my breath.
Right, well, it's written on that new bank called We Bounce Faster. And we'll let you know about that later.
Please, I know it'll be in the mail for a while. And
Peter, where can our listeners find more of the things you do?
Well, right now, I would say what was laughingly, my website is under construction, but you can go to peterrobbinsinformation.com. Hopefully, we will have something a lot more dynamic and new for you soon. And otherwise, you guys have my email address if people want to contact me. I'm not going to give it on the air, but if they contact you, they are welcome to write to me. I'm on Facebook. I try to respond to every request for information or contact that I get. Sometimes I do fall way behind, but I'm a public person and, you know, I'm out here.
We can find you if we want to find you. Where do we find Chris O'Brien?
Well, I'm a member of the Peter Robbins fan club right now. Peter, I think you should be a reoccurring guest here a lot more often. I enjoyed this show so much, and we've only scratched the surface. You can find what I do, Gene, at OurStrangePlanet.com.
And a special thank you from Gene and Chris to Peter Robbins. Thanks for joining us this week on the Paracast.
It's been a pleasure being on the show, and I'll be glad to return at any time we can schedule if that works for us all.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast. The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.